Hello and welcome to this deep dive. Today we're going to explore a selection of articles together from the recent iWeek number 81 publication. Get ready, because this week, Moroccan and international news is particularly packed and, well, quite varied.
Indeed. You've got a whole range of topics right here, everything from social and economic shifts to the latest in tech and, you know, international affairs. Our goal really is to navigate through all this dense information, pull out the most significant insights, and give you a clear, deep understanding of the key developments.
Okay, let's kick things off with a really important social issue. The recognition of unpaid domestic work by women in Morocco. It's covered in the editorial. Did you know, on average, Moroccan women spend 5 hours a day on these essential but often invisible tasks?
5 hours. Wow, that's substantial.
It really is. And the article highlights the potential legal consequences of recognizing this work, particularly in situations like divorce or inheritance. Just imagine the impact that could have on women's lives and, well, fairness within households.
It's a huge shift, potentially.
And this initiative actually has significant backing from the European Union and the Council of Europe, which really underlines the sort of international dimension of this issue.
Right. It's not just a local conversation.
Exactly. And the Ministry of Justice has stated pretty firmly that paying for these tasks is a moral and constitutional obligation.
That's quite a strong stance, isn't it? It could pave the way for practical support programs for women, like access to professional training, perhaps.
Yeah, and what's fascinating here is thinking about how this legal recognition might mesh with existing social protection systems. You even wonder if it could lead to, you know, recessing how GDP is calculated to actually include this previously invisible economic activity. It's a change that could deeply challenge traditional gender roles and boost women's economic independence.
Absolutely. A really fundamental point. Okay, let's switch gears to another critical area in our connected world, cyber attacks in Morocco. The articles report a recent surge in DDoS attacks targeting vital infrastructure.
DDoS, distributed denial of service. Basically overwhelming system. Precisely. And faced with this threat, several ministries and public bodies have taken preventative steps, temporarily closing their digital platforms. This includes, among others, the Platform for Direct Housing Assistance and the Ministry of National Education. This came after warnings from the National Defense Administration.
So, a proactive measure.
Yes. And for us, the public, what are the potential consequences? Well, delays in banking, interruptions to administrative services, it's not insignificant. Authorities are advising caution. Avoid clicking suspicious links, answering doubtful calls, and maybe limit non-essential online purchases for now.
Basic cyber hygiene. Really important right now.
Definitely. And a major vulnerability was actually found in a WordPress module called SureTriggers. What's particularly concerning here is that this flaw could potentially trigger chain attacks, affecting hundreds of connected third-party apps.
Wow, that sounds serious, like a domino effect.
Kind of like a master key that doesn't just open one door, but hundreds of connected buildings.
Yeah, DDoS attacks themselves are interesting. The whole idea is just flooding a server with so much traffic it can't cope, like a website crashing because too many people visit at once. And this SureTriggers flaw really highlights the complexity of cybersecurity. One weak link in a component can open the door to multiple breaches. It just underscores how crucial, you know, digital hygiene is for everyone, but also the massive national security implications of these increasingly sophisticated threats.
Okay, let's do a complete change of pace now and talk about the denial from the Royal Moroccan Football Federation, the FRMF. They're denying any involvement in organizing the recent Casablanca Derby. A senior FRMF official formally told the outlet Hesport that Fezzi Lekcha, the federation president, never intended to attend the match. So that's an official clarification.
Okay, noted. Straightforward denial.
Now, let's turn to the latest developments in the case known as the Escobar of the Sahara involving Said Nasiri. According to the reports, Mr. Nasiri has asked the court for more time so he can, in his words, reveal all the elements related to the case. He's still denying the charges against him. The trying has been adjourned and is expected to resume next Friday.
Asking for more time to reveal everything. That's an interesting move.
It is. And the charges he faces are numerous and serious. Falsifying official documents, using suspicious agreements, involvement in drug trafficking conspiracies, fraud, influence peddling, pressuring for false testimony, and attempting to export narcotics. Meanwhile, the questioning of former parliamentarian Mir Belkacem is ongoing, and he's reportedly asked for the ex-wife of a Malian national involved to be called to testify.
Well, the legal complexity here is significant. Nasiri's promise to reveal everything raises important questions. Presenting new evidence during the investigation phase can definitely have a major impact on how the proceedings unfold and, ultimately, the court's decisions. It'll be really interesting to see what information he intends to bring forward and how the court interprets it.
Right. Let's head over to Casablanca now, specifically Mohammed V Airport, where there's a major project underway to modernize the Esplanade. This initiative is part of the National Airports Office's ONDA strategic plan, Airports 2030.
Modernizing key infrastructure, always important.
Exactly. The plan improvements are all about making the passenger experience smoother. Things like direct access to the first floor for drop-offs, 6 new entrance gates to ease flow, faster check-in processes, a modernized space with new signage, and even a free 10-minute drop-off zone. Other changes are happening too, like removing the entrance control at the terminal and automating passport control.
Sounds like a significant upgrade, streamlining the process.
It does. And it's important to note the close collaboration between various local and national authorities on this. It's a coordinated effort to boost the country's airport infrastructure and welcome.
Yeah, and putting this in a broader context, Mohammed V Airport is a really strategic hub in North Africa. So these modernizations aren't just about passenger comfort, they're crucial for strengthening Morocco's image and its role in regional and international air transport. Investing in modern infrastructure sends a strong signal globally.
Good point. Now let's look at a notable statement, the Declaration of the Week, which comes from Abdelatef Wahbi, the Minister of Justice. This concerns the Arasala Group's participation in the 2025 International Book Fair, ALEAL.
Okay, the book fair. What's the focus?
The minister highlighted the group's deep commitment to culture and citizenship and its philosophy, which is inspired by the thinking of Munir Mamouni. Loa Deje Media is presented as a kind of hybrid space for diverse voices and expressions. The group plans to showcase its digital kiosk, PressPlus.ma, at the event.
PressPlus.ma. Digital platforms are changing things.
They really are. And their Bouquiniste initiative deserves special mention. It aims to be a launchpad for emerging authors. Apparently, around 10 authors with about 40 books are already part of this project. The group's goal at SAIL is clearly to encourage reading and writing and to make literature more accessible through digital tools. It's also noted they have support from the Rabat Saleh Kenitra Regional Council.
What's fascinating here is seeing how the publishing sector is evolving in the digital age. Initiatives like PressPlus.ma could play a really significant role in democratizing access to literature, offering new discovery paths for readers and a first showcase for authors just starting out. It's sort of rethinking how knowledge and literary creation are shared.
Very true. Okay, let's talk about future plans now. The government's ambitious investment plan. We're talking 243 billion dirhams for 2,100 infrastructure projects. These are targeted for rural and mountainous regions. Looking ahead to the 2030 World Cup, that's a huge financial commitment.
243 billion dirhams, wow. Focused on rural and mountain areas, too.
Exactly. The plan aims for more balanced regional development, focusing on improving connectivity roads, water networks, digital infrastructure. The goal is to boost key sectors like agriculture, tourism, and local crafts. And again, close collaboration between various ministries and local authorities is planned to ensure this massive program succeeds.
Thinking long term, this huge investment is strategically vital for reducing regional disparities. It helps ensure that the positive impacts of a global event like the World Cup aren't just concentrated in major cities, but benefit the entire country. It reflects a vision of inclusive development.
Very positive development. And speaking of positive news, let's mention the election of Mina Sugrati. She's become the first Arab woman president of the International Association of Women Judges, the IAWJ. This happened at the association's 17th International Congress in Cape Town, a really important recognition of her commitment and leadership.
That's fantastic news. A significant milestone.
Indeed. Now let's cross continents and touch on the ongoing trade tensions between the U.S. and China. Reports suggest China has instructed its airlines to suspend receiving new Boeing aircraft. This follows earlier moves, you might recall. Trump's administration partially rolled back some tariffs on Chinese electronics.
The Boeing suspension, that's a major development in this trade dynamic.
It really is, and the scale of this trade confrontation is quite striking. We're talking U.S. tariffs reaching 145% on some Chinese goods, and Chinese tariffs up to 125% on certain American products. The articles even detail the number of Boeing orders potentially affected, 50 planes currently being built, and another 179 orders planned between 2025 and 2027 for major airlines like China Southern, China Eastern, and Air China.
That's a lot of aircraft. Huge economic implications for Boeing and the airlines.
Absolutely. China is insisting that any dialogue must be based on equality and mutual respect. The reports also highlight China's dominant role in global production of things like rare earth elements, chemicals, ships, electric vehicles, batteries, and consumer drones. There's even talk of potential restrictions on rare earth exports to the U.S., which would directly impact strategic sectors like military industries.
The rare earths point is critical. It highlights a major U.S. vulnerability.
Yes. And an interesting contrast is drawn between U.S. and Chinese household consumption and savings rates, as well as figures on national debt and foreign exchange reserves for both countries. China is also presented as the world's leading investor and creditor through its Belt and Road Initiative. The articles conclude with an analogy. Poker, representing a short-term approach, versus the game Go, symbolizing a long-term strategy to illustrate the differing approaches of the two nations.
What's crucial to grasp here are the long-term implications of this trade war for the entire global economy. It really exposes the complex interdependencies of our globalized economies and the specific vulnerabilities of each major player. Decisions made today will have profound repercussions on global supply chains, the pace of tech innovation, and the international balance of economic power. That poker versus Go analogy is quite apt, isn't it? It underlines a difference in strategic vision, the U.S. often seeming to prioritize quicker wins, while China adopts a longer-term perspective focused on global influence.
A really complex picture. Let's stay on the international stage with the concerning situation regarding Israel's exclusion of humanitarian aid intended for Gaza. The articles quote a clear statement on this from the Israeli Defense Minister, Israel Katz.
Restricting aid. That's always deeply concerning in conflict zones.
It is. The UN describes the situation as alarming for the 2.4 million residents of the Gaza Strip, citing severe shortages of food, water, and fuel. Israel accuses Hamas of diverting this aid, an accusation Hamas has flatly denied. The reports also mention a statement from Katz suggesting the possibility of a permanent Israeli military presence in certain areas of Gaza.
So this raises fundamental ethical and legal questions about the humanitarian crisis unfolding in Gaza, and the implications of restricting aid access for a civilian population in distress. International humanitarian law has clear obligations regarding civilian protection and aid delivery in conflict. The situation, given the UN's reported shortages, is extremely worrying.
Definitely a situation demanding close attention. Okay, to wrap up our overview of the week's news, here are some other brief items that caught our eye. The arrest of a Dutch national at Bab Septa attempting to smuggle about 45 kilograms of hashish. Dr. Hondi's warning about non-pasteurized milk dangers and potential TB transmission. A violent stabbing incident at a middle school in Meknes involving students. Mm-hmm. A study showing persistently low perception of women's safety in public spaces in Morocco. Only 5% feel very safe. The European Commission classifying Morocco as a safe country for asylum purposes.
Right.
Morocco advocating for ethical AI at GTECS Africa Morocco, stated by head of government Aziz Aknouch. The launch of a legal and practical guide on cannabis in Morocco. Deadly U.S. airstrikes on an oil port in Yemen. A tragic shooting at Florida State University.
Okay.
Diplomatic tensions and expulsions between France and Algeria. The death of a French teacher in Erfurt, allegedly killed by a student. The second local spring festival planned for Tangier. An IB Morocco and UAEBY project linking libraries and schools launched at Sahel.
Lots going on.
The Moroccan Philharmonic Choir's Shurikers tour. Moroccan writers honored at the Paris Book Festival. Guinean singer Ants T. Crazy performing at Maouzine. The 8th NOAA show in Marrakech, U.S. Polo ASEAN opening its first store in Casablanca's Morocco Mall.
All right, culture and business.
Moroccan singer Doozy reportedly denied entry to the U.S. Criticism aimed at Katy Perry for taking part in a Blue Origin spaceflight. Ryanair CEO Michael O'Leary being pranked at a restaurant. Minister Nizar Baraka stating Morocco has returned to a normal level of water stress.
Water stress levels improving? That's noteworthy.
The discovery of a book bound in human skin in an English museum. Warnings about drinking water from bottles left open too long. Advice against using bleach on tile grout. Samsung partnering with SOFAC for installment payments in Morocco.
Practical tips and partnerships there.
Mohammed Ramadan facing a union investigation over his Coachella outfit. AI forensics accusing Meta of allowing illegal drug ads. Rumors of a portable Xbox possibly being unveiled soon. Glovo Morocco denying data breach rumors. China launching a search for alleged U.S. NSA agents accused of cyber attacks.
Tech and security news continuing.
Apple's planned iPadOS 19 update. OpenAI's plans for ChatGPT 5. A small plane crash at Versailles Airport. Ultra trail runner Aziza El Emrani's second place finish in a major race.
Mm. Sports highlights too.
Real Madrid's victory over Alaves. Azzedine Unahi's performance for Panathinaikos. Rachid El Mourabity achieving legendary status in his sport. Abdel Wazan's performance at the U17 Africa Cup. Aladin Ajare's success in the Indian Super League. Ayub El Kabi winning the Greek league title with Olympiakos. And finally, Ramuni Auto Service expanding to Mediona.
Quite a range. Yeah. So wrapping up, what really stands out from reading through all these different articles is the sheer complexity and interconnectedness of events shaping our world, whether we're looking at internal social issues in Morocco, cybersecurity challenges, or international geopolitical tensions. Every piece of news fits into this constantly shifting bigger picture. It really highlights the need for careful reading and deeper analysis to grasp the dynamics at play.
That's very true. And we encourage you, our listeners, to take a moment to digest this wealth of information and think about the connections between these different topics. You know, how might social changes in Morocco be influenced by the international context? How could trade tensions impact our daily lives? These are all questions worth exploring further.
Definitely food for thought.
And to end this exploration, here's one final question for you to ponder. Facing this global interconnectedness, which we've seen across so many of these topics, how can we as individuals better develop our ability to navigate this increasingly complex global landscape and, well, make sense of it all? That's something to perhaps reflect on. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive.